Well, hearing songs like that reminds me, and I imagine you dads feel the same way today, that that's the one role as fathers we really want to succeed in. It's the one place that we want to be able to look back and say, man, I think I did my best as a dad. But it's also a role where we can have a lot of insecurities, right? And I mean, every new dad knows, man, this kid didn't come with a manual. What do I do? And I've often drawn encouragement from some stories about other dads that have helped me. So if you're a new dad, particularly today, you might enjoy this story about a new dad I read about who soon after the birth of their child got home, and the mother decided one afternoon that she needed to go out for several hours to run some errands, and so she left the baby with the proud papa. And no sooner than mom was out the door than this baby starts to cry. Dad doesn't know what to do. Can't get him to stop. No matter what he tries, the baby won't stop crying. Goes on for an hour. So he finally decides something must be wrong. I mean, I've never done this before. How do I know? Maybe he's deathly ill, something, you know. So takes him to the doctor. And he tells him everything he's tried. He said, I can't get the baby to stop crying. Doctor began to check him out, looked the ears over, you know, the throat, checked out the chest. Finally went down to the diaper area. Sure enough, unfastening the diaper, found the thing was full. And he says, well, here's your problem. The baby needs a change, you know. And the father's perplexed and said, but the diaper package says it's good for up to 10 pounds. You know. Don't you love it? I thought some of you dads might be encouraged by that today, you know. I read another classic about some parents who tucked their 3-year-old Sam into bed one night. It wasn't long before they heard him crying hysterically, and rushing to his room and inquiring as to what the problem was, they found that Sam had swallowed a penny, and he was deathly afraid, you know, that this was going to be the end for him. And they tried everything they could to allay his fears, but couldn't do it. So, I mean, nothing's going to stop him from thinking he's dying. So the dad finally reaches in the pockets. Dads can be quick on their feet sometimes. He reaches in, palms a penny, kind of puts it up next to Sam's ear and says, Sam, look at this. You know, you swallowed that penny, but look, I just pulled it out of your ear. And he has it laying there in his hand, and Sam stops crying. His eyes get real big. He starts giggling. And then all of a sudden, he grabs that penny, swallows it, and says, do it again, Dad. That's when some of your best tricks go astray sometimes, don't they? Dads, on this special day where we honor you, I just want to reiterate again how crucial your role as a father is in the lives of your kids. And whether you're a new dad who's trying to figure out that diaper-changing thing, or you're a middle-aged dad trying to figure out the teenage years, or perhaps the college thing, or older parents trying to figure out the grandkid thing, one thing that is not up for debate is how absolutely critical your role is to the well-being of your children. According to a recent report by the Department of Health and Human Services, they say fathers play a unique role in fostering the well-being of their children, not only through providership, protection, and guidance, but also through the way they nurture the next generation. Ready for the facts here about how important fathers really are? Listen to this. The largest, most critical factor predicting whether a child will graduate from high school, attend college, avoid crime, reject drugs, or whether or not their daughters become pregnant before 18 is a father's presence in his or her life. And now to you single moms here, that doesn't mean that those things are bound to happen if dad's not around. It's that your kids are more susceptible to making wrong choices without the strong influence of their father. Nor is it to lay blame and guilt on dads today who, even after doing your best, perhaps your child made some critical missteps and poor life choices. It's just to say that where dads are predominantly absent, be it physically or emotionally from their children's lives, it greatly increases the chance of their kids making those kinds of poor choices. So I want to encourage dads today, guys who are wired for influence, because you are wired for that kind of influence, I want you to know that you couldn't have a greater influence than that which you have in the lives of your kids, and you don't have to do anything to get it. You've already got it just by virtue of the fact that you're a father to your kids. And so today I want to challenge you to steward that influence in the most effective way possible so that your kids will be more likely to thrive under your influence. Now, a few weeks ago, a couple of moms were joking with me about the difference they've perceived between Mother's Day messages around here and Father's Day messages. They say, you know, on Mother's Day, it's like you always give these real warm, encouraging messages to moms. But on Father's Day, it's like it's always this huge challenge, you know, it's kick them in the pants, you know, get these dads out there. And if you remember, this year for Mother's Day, Tim did a message entitled Cherish. They said, we figured Father's Day will be called Perish. Now, we were having fun with that. I don't know how many of you dads feel that way. I know that I need encouragement as a father, but I also know that I thrive on challenge. You know, someone helping me to understand how I can grow as a father, but certainly within a context of encouragement. I don't need condemnation in my life. And so my goal today is to help you steward your powerful influence as a father even better, and to encourage you to know that you do have what it takes. And as part of our encouragement, we bought every dad here today one of the best Father's Day books that I could think of giving to a father. In fact, if there's any one book that I would have want to put in the hand of every dad I know today, it'd be this book. We bought enough. Every dad, you get one. That doesn't mean you take one for your dad because he wasn't here. You get one, you know. You hang on to this. You don't give it to anybody. This is yours to read and reread and to implement in your life. It's only 50 pages, so dads, we can get through this one. It's a small book, but I want to tell you, it is powerful and it is life transforming. And we want you to be encouraged today. It's John Eldridge. You have what it takes. We want you to know that. And it says what every father needs to know. Now, what you moms need to understand is that while every dad, every man needs encouragement, we are wired for challenge. Here's the advertisement Ernest Shackleton put out when he was seeking help with his exploration of the South Pole in the early 1900s. It said, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. I said, that sounds a little like being a father, doesn't it? Long months of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, you know, but there's honor and reward and recognition in case of success. Now, guys, more than 5,000 men, from suntan sailors to Cambridge-educated scientists, answered that advertisement. Why? Because many of these guys were simply tired of the dullness and comfort in the lives they'd created for themselves. God has wired us men for challenge. And it's a good thing, because parenting, for being dads, being fathers, is a challenge. And he wants us to know we have what it takes as we face the challenge. And so I want to challenge you today to be fearless fathers when it comes to facing and overcoming the fears that hold back your heart. Dads, I want you to understand today, your most critical battle as a man will always be the battle for the fuller awakening and restoration of your own heart. Because it's your father heart that is the source of your greatest influence in your children's lives. This is why Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Out of your heart flows the richness of your influence with your children. And to the degree that your heart is free, to the degree that your heart is alive and engaged with your kids, the stronger and healthier your influence will be in their lives. But to the degree that your heart is inhibited, the more restricted your influence is going to be with your kids. So dads, I want to focus on some key issues that are critical to releasing more of your father heart to your kids. Now just to highlight an excerpt from Eldridge's book that had a profound impact on my life from the moment I read it. And I've actually taught it over the last couple of years, so maybe this will be a refresher for some of you today. He says, dad, you don't need a PhD in parenting to be a great dad. He said, all you need to understand is the one question your son is hoping you will answer in his life. And you need to understand the one question that your daughter is hoping you will answer. They look to you to answer it. The son is asking, do I have what it takes? Dad, am I a man in your eyes? Can I meet the challenges of the world? Do you believe I can? The daughter is asking, Dad, am I beautiful in your eyes? Am I worth pursuing? Do you believe that about me as your daughter? Eldridge says, you answer that question as often as possible in as many ways as possible for the rest of their lives. Even if you have grown kids today, you keep speaking to that basic question. And dads, talk about influence. It's a question that you alone can answer. Kids don't look to their moms to answer those questions. That's not to lessen the role of the mom. Moms provide that nurturing, loving component of God's plan for a child's life, but identity is bestowed only by the father. A son learns if he has what it takes only from his father, and a daughter learns if she's worth pursuing only from her father. You don't have to focus on 50 other questions. You have to answer that one. And you can. Now, at first glance, that doesn't seem like it should be too difficult a task for us, right? But dads, here's the issue. We all carry our own wounds of the heart. There's something in us. Sometimes it's our own relationship to our father and how he did or didn't answer that question in our own lives that keeps us from fully disclosing our father heart to our kids. Oh, it's not maybe even that we're trying to hold back. It's just that we carry our own wounds that, if ignored or left unattended, cripple our ability to release our hearts to our kids and to fully speak into those questions. And yet the good news is that no matter what wounds we carry, we can experience further healing, restoration, and transformation. I want you to know today, guys, that it's like this side of heaven, our healing is never complete. It's kind of like we keep peeling the onion, and God gives me more healing, more insight, more transformation, allows me to go to the next level, and then he gives me more insight, see? And that's kind of our process. Lord, just continue to work with my heart so more of it can be released to my kids. Isaiah 61:1 is just gives us a picture of Jesus' mission. And part of that is he, God, Jesus said, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He can deal with the wounds of the heart. Jesus is all about the ongoing healing and restoration of your heart so that for dads, you know his stated goal for these days in which we're living? In fact, it's all wrapped around what God is seeking to do in the last days. And we don't know how close we are to the last days, but we are in that period of time. Now, it could be another 100, 200, 300 years, who knows. But this is God's plan for fathers. Stated in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. He, God, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. See, he wants to heal your heart so you can turn your heart to your children. And then look what happens. And he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. See, when your father heart is turned to your children, it will in turn elicit your children's hearts being knit to yours. But dads, I want you to see from this passage, it starts with the hearts of fathers. And so today I want to challenge every father here to become fearless in facing the risks that can unleash more of your father heart. That's where our battle always is. It's a battle for our hearts. And I want to speak to three of our greatest heart issues or risks that we must face and overcome. Let's jump right in here today. Risk number one is this. Be fearless in facing the risk of intimacy. I have had a verse memorized from the old King James Bible. I love how the King James translates Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, which says, be kindly affectioned. Let's think about that picture for a moment. Be kindly affectioned towards one another. Now, I don't know what happened in my German ancestry, but I think somewhere the men, and a lot of the ladies as well, began to translate that verse, be blindly unaffectioned towards one another. I mean, isn't it true, men, that giving and receiving intimacy is one of our greatest fears? We're not good at it. Most of us were taught that it's not manly. For a lot of us, it was not modeled in our homes. We didn't know how to express words of affection or how to show affection. We didn't learn how to speak from our hearts. We picked up wounds that were never talked about, and we learned how to shut our hearts off so that we didn't feel the pain, right? I mean, think about it in your home. As a child that, say, you got hurt and you were crying, how many of your fathers, I wondered, took you in their laps and said, hey, tell me what's going on in your heart right now. What's hurt you? Dad would like to know. You know, I think probably it was more likely, you know, quit britzing, you big baby. Right? The message was, suck it up and pretend that you don't hurt, even when you do, because it's not manly to have feelings. And consequently, we grew up unable to really reveal what's in our hearts because we shut the feelings off a long time ago. I remember a coach and teacher at our school that I didn't like very well, even in grade school, as I was growing up, because he was mean. And he didn't know anything about this kindly affection verse. I was in fifth grade, and it was during a kickball game during the noon hour. We had to be in the gymnasium because of the weather outside on this particular day. And one of my best friends was round in third and was trying to make it home, beat the throw to home, and he comes sliding in. And just as he got there, the kickball met his face and slammed his head into the gym floor. You actually hear the thump. And our gym floor was laid down right over cement. So I don't imagine it felt good anyway. The guy began to cry. And right there in front of this, the whole student body, this coach just reamed him out. Would you quit crying, you big sissy? You know, this type of thing. Now guys, today I happen to think that he would have been more of a man if he had put his arm around that guy and said, hey, you all right? Man, that had to hurt. But you know what? You're a man, so I know you're going to be okay. My guess is not only would that have stopped the tears sooner, but again, a totally different approach that would have still preserved his manhood without wounding his heart in the process. But we all got wounded, didn't we? And what happens when we grow up with our own wounds is that over time we learn to shut down our hearts and shut off the expression of kind affection and intimacy. And yet that is the very thing our kids most need if they're going to turn their hearts towards us. They need to know what's in our hearts. They need to know our hearts are safe. Our hearts love them. They need us to express it with touch and with words and with revealing thoughts, be it in letters or emails. They need to hear our hearts. They need us to risk attempts at intimacy even if we feel clumsy doing it. And when such is not forthcoming, our kids are not able to fully turn their hearts to us because of the way our wounds have now wounded them. I grew up in a family where while we knew in our hearts we loved each other, we didn't know how to express it, nor were we comfortable with such expression. We didn't share words of love. We didn't show affection. We didn't reveal our hearts except when we were angry. We were not kindly affectioned to one another. And here I am with this wound inside my heart that longs for the expression of intimacy from my parents, and particularly my father, and I realized it as a teenager. But I don't know how to articulate it because I'll feel like an idiot if I do. And I already know it's not safe to show affection because none of us is comfortable in our family with showing that kind of affection. But I really want to hear my mom and dad say they love me. I want to hear my dad say he's proud of me. I want him to affirm me as a man and as his son. But his own wound made that virtually impossible for him. And back then they didn't have books like Eldridge's, you know, that could have helped my father. He was just doing the best he could, doing what had been modeled in his family for generations. One wound, wounding the next generation, wounding the next generation, wounding the next generation. And so, one of the hardest things I ever did that began to change my relationship with my dad, and it began to change my heart, was as an 18-year-old college freshman, I came home from Christmas break with one goal. And I'd asked some guys in the college dorm, because I had never experienced the kind of love that I experienced among men at college. I said, I want you to pray for me. I've never told my dad I love him. And that would be the greatest thing I think I could do at Christmas, if I could do that. And I'll forget, the presents were all opened, and most of my brothers and sisters who had married had headed home, and Dad was headed to the bedroom about midnight, and I have this lump about this big in my throat going, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I walk up behind him, and I almost chicken out again, and I said, Dad. And he turned around, and with everything in me, you know, I wasn't good at it. I just said, Dad, I want you to know that I love you. And I'll never forget the big old tear that just came rolling down his cheek. He put his arms around me, and he said, I love you too. And my dad and I have, since that day, grown in our ability to express affection. I have seen my dad's heart in some new ways since that day. But I've always wondered, why was that so hard? And I believe it's because everything we've been taught and had modeled for us has said, don't risk intimacy. And yet, you know, that's the only way you release your father heart. You know, you talk about this with dads, and what's the first reaction always if we're uncomfortable with intimacy? We always say, I'm sorry, but that's just not the way I am. I'm just not a feeling person. I actually knew a guy who said to his wife, I mean, because it comes through in our relationships with our wives as well, she's dying, and she said, it'd help if my husband would just let me know that he loves me. And he told me this one day. He said, I told her on the day I married her that I love her, and if that ever changes, I'll let her know. Real tough guy, right? So we say, that's just the way I am. And I want to say, no, that's the way you've become. You weren't born into the world that way. You learned it. And if we could turn the clock back to the day each of our births were announced, dads, we came into this world with a need for intimacy, a need for love, and a need for affection. When we were sad, we cried. When we were happy, we laughed. And we were unashamed to give love and to receive love. No problem. But somewhere, we learned that it wasn't okay to share our hearts with people, and if we did, we might get hurt. And so we learned how to play the cool guy, the hard guy, whatever, and we learned how to not need people, and we learned how to just kind of keep our hearts in here and not let people see them. And the problem is today that unless you confront that wound, you will cut your kids off from feeling the full affection of your heart for them, and in turn, you will make it virtually impossible for them to then turn their hearts fully to you. Now again, Eldridge will help you with that in here. But how do you know whether your heart's been wounded or not? When it comes to this whole expression of intimacy, maybe some of your dads are really good with that, but you know whether you are or not. Here's one of the things you can expect, or one of the ways you can examine how you're doing here. I would ask you, when's the last time you cried because you felt so much affection for your children? When's the last time you swallowed that lump and you expressed what was in your heart for your child? Because, dads, the likelihood is that you won't grow in this area without some tears. I'm sorry to tell you. You've had stuff bottled up in there so long, when it comes out, there will be some tears with it. Well, I don't like to cry. That's okay. Kids need to see you cry as you express your love to them. And as somebody has said, if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. That's another good benefit, see? So, risk the intimacy. It's the only way you will release more of your father heart to your kids. Now, here's risk number two. Huge. Be fearless in facing the risk of vulnerability. Another one of our greatest fears is the fear of vulnerability. We have a very difficult time owning up to our weaknesses, acknowledging our failures, and humbling ourselves in the face of our own humanity. But our kids know all about that. All about our humanity. They can tell us. Just ask them. But see, it's the very act of risking vulnerability with our kids that connects them to our Father's heart like nothing else can. This is what causes our children to respect us. You can't imagine this, but it's when you acknowledge and you allow them to be a part of your weaknesses that you wouldn't imagine this, but somehow it starts making you the hero in their eyes. It's just kind of an unbelievable thing. I've spoken many times about a defining moment in my own heart towards my father as I was growing up. I always perceived him as angry and aloof. He wasn't gentle, affirming, and affectionate, and I was often hurt by this. And I told myself, well, maybe you're just too sensitive, you know, this type of thing. As I got into high school, his anger began to affect me in adverse ways when in my heart I felt like I'm trying to be a model son for him. And I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm trying to follow the Lord in the right way and the way I honor my parents. And I was on a canoe trip with our church youth group. The youth pastor spoke on our relationships with our parents. And I made a commitment that day to praying for my relationship and trying with all my heart to get closer to my father. I also began to pray that God would show me that my parents were sensitive to wanting a better relationship with me, because I wondered at times whether it was just me feeling like things should be different, like maybe things are fine the way things are, you know. So I prayed, Lord, show me that you're at work in my parents too, that they want to be close to me. That was my commitment as I headed home from the canoe trip on Sunday afternoon. The first thing Monday morning, my dad came to our room. Now, if he had, we worked on the farm, and if he had some assignments for us, he'd come up and get us out of bed. So Dan was a year older than me. We were in bed that morning, and Dad came up, grabbed us by our feet, shook us a little bit, and gave us our assignment. Why don't you come over to this farm? I've got some, you know, pick up my truck there, and then head down to another farm, pick up what I need, and bring it back to the cornfield where I'm planting right now. And so we got out of bed rather quickly, got ourselves ready to go, headed over to that farm. We got over there, and his pickup wasn't there. Now, there was another pickup there, but it belonged to another farmer, and it also had a fuel tank on it, so you could drive it out to the tractors if the tractors needed it, rather than running the tractors in to refuel them. And we just thought, well, you know, just we don't take Ray's pickup, you know. So we waited around, and about a minute later, here comes my dad flying up the drive, dust flying all over everything, and he jumps out of the truck, and first words out of his mouth, I told you to take the truck and go! And I was instantly wounded and said, you told us to take your truck. There's a truck right there, why don't you take it and go? We jumped in the pickup, and my brother Dan had a hardened heart, and he was kind of funny in the way he expressed himself, but he's just shaking his head. I can't believe the old man. I'm sitting there, knowing what I'm praying, saying, God, I am so tired of opening my heart and getting hurt. I don't want to care anymore. But see, I'm a Christian, and I don't know how not to care. But I don't like getting hurt. And this is what's going on in my mind and my heart as we go do our assignment. Finally, we come back to where my dad's planting the field, and we pull off there in the ditch a little bit, and my brother says, well, go ask the old man what he wants next. I said, I ain't going out there. You go out there. Dan was a little bit older, so he always prevailed, you know, and so I slip out of the truck. My dad's a ways up, you know, heading towards me, and I went out and stood there to where he would soon arrive. And I will not, guys, this is where God orchestrated one of the holiest moments of my life with my father. I could take you to the place in that field today. Normally he would come up, and because he's in a hurry, you know, he'd just let the tractor idle and kind of yell over the engine noise and tell you what he wanted you to do. This time he pulled up there and he shut the tractor off. And then as vulnerably and humbly as I've ever seen my father, he looked down at me and with some tears, he said, I'm really sorry I jumped all over you today. I pulled my hat down over my face so he couldn't see I was crying. I said, it's okay, Dad. And what I felt inside was, Dad, you have no idea what you just did for my heart by telling me that. One time of my dad getting vulnerable with me turned my heart to him in profound ways. And I've been able to talk to him about what this did. He said, man, I don't remember that. I said, Dad, I'll never forget it. You couldn't have known what it did for me. Some of you today have some kids who simply need you to humble yourself, admit that you've blown it with them. They just need to know that you're aware of your weaknesses, that you're in growth mode, and that you're going to let them be a part of that growth process. And you have no idea what it'll do for their hearts. And if you're not sure where to start, Eldridge gives us some great advice here. So again, you don't have to necessarily write this all down. It's in here. He says one of the best ways to approach high school and above children is to go to them and ask them what it is or was like to have you as a father. Now that's vulnerability, isn't it? Ask them what they feel your message to them was while they were growing up. Maybe it needs to start with a letter or a phone call where you say, you know, I've been doing some thinking about our relationship and how I might have hurt you over the years. I'd be honored if you would tell me what it was like to have me as a dad. What was my message to you? What was my message about you as you grew up? To your daughter, did you feel loved and pursued by me? To your son, did you feel loved and respected by me? He says, now, if you are blessed by God and they will tell you, it might be hard to hear. But you're a man. He says, you can take it. Don't be quick to defend yourself. Don't rush to explain, well, those were hard years, or I was working hard to provide for you, or whatever. Simply listen, let them speak, and then accept what they have to say. And only after the story is out on the table do you ask for their forgiveness. He says, this is important. You don't just say you're sorry. You ask for their forgiveness. You say something like, you know what, you're right. I really see that now. Will you forgive me for wounding you in that way? He goes on, sometimes this might not go well. They might not be ready to talk about it. In that case, you respect them. You give them time. You let them know that when they are ready, you are ready. You pray for them that God will soften their hearts and bring reconciliation. Either way, and most important of all, you begin to say to your children what you never said to them. You demonstrate your repentance and you show them you mean what you say. Guys, personally, I believe our ability to display vulnerability, to being open to input about how we might improve, to being open to feedback about how we're doing, to humbly acknowledge our mistakes when we make them and ask forgiveness is one of the most significant keys to turning the hearts of our children back to their fathers. And I want to affirm again this Wild at Heart weekend, that this encounter that Pete spoke about earlier this morning. I attended a Wild at Heart weekend 3 years ago, and it was a very powerful time for me, and I want to do it again. I discovered more about how some of my own wounds were inhibiting the fuller expression of my father heart for my kids. And you know, we do a unique thing around Northwoods. I don't know that other places that do Wild at Hearts do this, but I love the fact that we do. We give our children the opportunity to offer us helpful and encouraging feedback as a part of the weekend. So each of my kids received a survey in advance of my attending the weekend. They filled them out, and then I took them in an enclosed envelope that was only to be opened at a certain time during the weekend. Because I had to leave early, I opened them a little bit ahead of when some of the other guys did. But the survey said, you know, I'm going to be with some friends overnight talking about how to be a better father. You can help in answering the following questions. And I will take your answers to the retreat and open them there. I will be the only one to see your responses. And I want to tell you, the night I opened those responses, I wept like a baby as my father heart just was expanded. And I thought, God, man, the greatest gift you've given me are these kids. And I want to steward my father heart well. A couple of things caught my attention. There were some great questions, and they were really encouraging questions. So your kids could offer you feedback without condemnation, even though they could be really honest about areas you might need to grow. And one of the questions was, is there anything about yourself that you would like to tell me so that I could understand you better? And my oldest daughter, Catherine, said, yeah, Dad, that I love purses and I can't help it. So don't get mad that I love shopping and stuff, see. My son Jonathan's a little more to the point. Three words under that question. I hate track. It was his way of saying, Dad, shut up. I'm not going out for track anymore. Don't like to run. But the telling question for me was this one. What is the one thing I could do to be the best dad ever? Kate said, don't go off on me when you don't know the entire story. My youngest son, Nate, said, don't get so mad when something happens. Don't make a big deal out of it. Victoria said, the only thing is when we fight, All I do is get upset because I am so sensitive. So try to deal with me by trying not to yell or get so mad. And I thought, isn't that amazing? Three out of the four mentioned the very thing that wounded my heart the most with my own father. Perpetuating the wound. And that was so instructive to me because of a third huge risk we have to take. Dads, listen carefully. Risk three is be fearless in facing the risk of surrender. Surrender doesn't come easy for any tough guy who's been taught all his life, never say uncle. And while that may be sound advice for persevering through the challenges of life, there are two places in your life where the only way to win is through surrender, through saying uncle. One, surrender your wounds from your earthly father. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your mate, your relationship with your kids and with all of life flow out of the law of reciprocity. That is, you reap what you sow. And the greatest law that governs the quality of life you are experiencing today is found in Ephesians 6 and verse 2. It's a repeat of one of the Ten Commandments where the Apostle Paul says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life upon the earth. So let me ask you today, how well is it going for you today? If you're reaping a lot of trouble and brokenness in your marriage relationship, or your relationship with your kids, a lot of distance, a lot of rebellion, and you would have to say, Kel, it's not going very well if I get real honest. Then guys, without self-condemnation, bring your heart before the Lord and begin to ask Him to search your heart. Ask Him, Father, is there any place where I am hanging on to a root of bitterness or resentment towards my own parents, and I am now receiving in my own life the fruit of my resentment? Think about it, guys. Was there any place where you said, as you were growing up and you were wounded by something mom or dad said, I will never be like that. I'm never going to be like them. Today, you're very much like them because you planted a seed of resentment. You don't have to hang on to that seed. That's the good news. You can bring your heart before Jesus and say, hey, right there is a place where I need healing and transformation. Is there anything over which you began to despise your own parents? Any place where you picked up a root of bitterness, you held on to it. The law of reciprocity says you will reap that very thing in your life. This is why God tells you to honor your parents, that it may go well with you. Our parents weren't perfect. Some were better than others, but part of honor is admitting that yes, though I was wounded, though things weren't what I had hoped, I want to honor them by forgiving them, by appreciating the good they did, and by releasing them from what they weren't able to give me. You surrender your wounds from your earthly fathers. Number two, you surrender your heart to your heavenly Father. See, the only way you can become the father you want to be is by letting your heavenly Father heal your heart. Continue to heal your heart. You bring your heart to Him and you say, God, I need You in my life. I'm not too proud to admit that I am weak and that I need Your help. I need Your wisdom and I need Your courage to face the fears that keep my heart closed up. Because God, I truly want to turn my heart to my kids so that they can turn their hearts to me. Guys, let's just admit that we need each other and we need God. I've given you three fears, three risks. Let's make a commitment to three steps of growth today very quickly. One, commit yourself to growth as a father. And I'm going to give you kind of a yearly, a monthly, and a daily thing you can do. The yearly is what you've heard about today. Fight for your father heart. You keep pushing yourself towards unraveling the mysteries of your own heart, the mysteries of your kid's heart. And one of the greatest things you could do to pursue that sometime this year is sign up for a Wild at Heart weekend and do some more work with your father heart. Put it on the calendar. Commit to being there. It'll be one of the best investments you've ever made in yourself. Your monthly commitment You commit yourself to regular relationships with other men. Become what we call around here a 740 man. That's going to be my... I decided today I'm going to talk about what the 740 man is next year. Because that's been our ministry for the last couple of days. Do you know some national radio programs have now picked up what the 740 man is? And are teaching that people all around the country? And I thought, well, let's ramp up the 740. That's where we meet monthly as men, just to challenge each other in our role. It comes from 1 Chronicles 7:40. That's what a 740 man is. Head of family, choice man, brave warrior, outstanding leader. Four dimensions of your father heart that you need to continue to work with. And so while we are down during June and July, you could possibly do your Wild at Heart weekend, and then August we'll be starting up again with our 740 men's ministry. Jump in there. And guys, you need relationships with other men to become, to allow your heart to fully flourish. And then thirdly, you just commit yourself on a daily basis to developing your relationship with God. Continue to expose the wounded places of your heart to Him and ask Him to help you change, particularly in these three critical areas we looked at today. You have a Father who wants to turn your heart to your children and to turn the hearts of your children back to you. I want to ask you to stand together. Dads, I want you to make these commitments today. Let's pray together. And every father in this place, I just want to pray for you today. And maybe you want to do something. It helps me sometimes symbolically to feel like maybe you just want to place your hands here as a way of saying, okay, I'm holding my heart in my hand today. And I'm acknowledging, Father, that I need more of your work in my life. But Mom, if you're there, maybe, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with the husband. Maybe you're not feeling close. Wherever you are, just lay a hand over there on his arm or on his back. Let him know, you know what, I'm praying for you today. I'm glad God's made you our dad. Maybe the kids are there with you as well. Just lay an arm over there on dad right now, a hand on your father, and let him know you love him and that you're praying for him. He needs that. He just needs to know that you're cheering him on to be the best dad he can be. Let's pray together. Father, I know this about every dad in this place today, that when it was first announced, you have a baby boy, you have a baby girl, we felt the wonder and the responsibility of that moment in unbelievable ways. And everything in us said, man, I want to be the best dad I can possibly be. Every father in here today, whether we can express it or not, we would say, oh man, I want so badly to express what's in my heart to my kids. And I want to know that my kids have turned their hearts to me. And Father, we just confess as men today, sometimes it's hard for us because of the wounds we carry. So Lord, because you know those wounds, we lay them out before you today, asking you to continue to transform our hearts. Asking you to touch the places in us that we long ago closed off because of pain in our own lives. Asking you today, Lord, to help us be fearless in facing that risk of intimacy, and clumsy though we may be, speaking and giving expression to what's in our hearts for our kids. Asking you, Lord, to help us to be fearless in facing that risk of vulnerability and letting our kids know, man, we need your help. We need your help. I want to be the best dad I can be, and I am so sorry for where I fail, but if you'll help me, I know I can get better. Help us to be fearless, Lord, in facing the risk of surrender. And some of us today just need to say, God, thank you for my own mom and dad. And I no longer want to hold against them the places that wounded me. Thank you for what I received from them. But I also forgive them for where their humanity showed through and perhaps wounded my heart. I no longer want to hang on to that, because I do want it to go well with me. And I do want to live a long, prosperous life on this earth. And therefore, I honor my mom and dad. And for some of us today, it's the honor of forgiveness. And so, Lord, bless every father heart to hear today. You let them know, Lord, that they do have what it takes. You let them know how proud you are of who they are and of how you wired them up. And you call forth the fullness of what you've placed within them. And let them hear your smile over their lives today, saying, "You too are one of my precious sons, and you I am well pleased." And out of that affirmation, may we give our hearts away to our kids. We'll give you the praise and thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Have a great one, dads. And we hope to see you back next week.